Welcome back, WNST, Taos in Baltimore, and WNST, Baltimore Positive.
Look at that.
The crab cakes are coming.
Look at that.
You know, this is, you know, way to your mayor, you know. You know, then you get the really big one.
Wow. They probably don't get much bigger than this.
Now, you don't want any bigger than that. She's explained this all to me, because the inside doesn't get done the right way, and you don't want it too hot. You know, I make her fry it, because I like mine a little more crispy, and she's no.
I'm going to let you talk for a second.
You go ahead. We're going to bring Damien Hahn, the owner. Come on around, Damien.
Come on around here, because we have a local issue. We do local business stuff around here. I'll make sure my microphone's working here. Go ahead. Say hello. Say a few syllables.
We got a little trash.
Hello. Hello.
Trash. Say hello to the council president.
Hello, how you doing? I'm glad you're enjoying that.
I'm a little busy right now with one of your fabulous crabs.
That's right. You can start eating, and I'm going to start talking.
Yeah, talk about the trash
bash. Market Center Trash Bash. I'm going to put this up right now. Go ahead.
This is one of our Baltimore Positive initiatives. We are going Market Center. We're going to have a Trash Bash Day. It's going to be October 20th. We've got Everyman Theater, the Market, Seawall Development, Catholic Relief Services, all involved. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a cleanup between 2 and 5. We're going to be working between Fayette Street all the way up to Mulberry, and from Pratt all the way over to Park.
Now, look, I'll do the cleanup. I'm good. Everybody's good for that 2 to 5. But the real story is about the celebration cookout, I think, afterward. That's the reward.
We're going to have a nice little cookout here on the parking lot of Lexington Market. I'm going to be offering crab soup and bratwurst. So Fadley's will be doing that. We've got a DJ coming. And then the Everyman Theater is going to offer special rate tickets to their show, Radio Golf, at 7 o'clock. So it's a really neat day.
Now, City Council President, in the middle of your crab cake, when you hear initiatives like this, I'm guessing, I don't want to put words in, you see this stuff all over the city, people bash the city, but I think you see great things happening all the time.
Yeah, and thank you, ma'am. Thank you for putting that on. Listen, we know that we were under attack from Individual Zero in Pennsylvania Avenue in the White House recently.
Yeah, Nestor won't mention his name.
Yeah, I call him Individual Zero. But
I call him,
for me, like the neighborhood that they were talking about, like Pennsylvania Avenue. The irony is that the Saturday before that, at 8:30 in the morning, a group of citizens asked me to come participate in a cleanup, and I was out there with him. We didn't have cameras. There was not a bunch of fanfare. These cleanups happen in Baltimore each and every day, where people get up there, go out there and clean up, even the people who just go out there and sweep their whole block. So folks who don't understand Baltimore, Baltimore is a place where we're known infamously for people who would get out there and clean off their marble steps. This is what we do. Okay. We take pride in our city. So people that don't know, and I hope last week when he came here and caused traffic that he actually visited and talked to real Baltimoreans and didn't just come here abuse our resources and leave. Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't think that happened.
He may have tweeted, though.
Damien, on another issue, and I know the city council president and the rest of us we were talking earlier. We're just outraged by this ruling by the United States Department of Agriculture. When we're in the middle of this market, this is in every way a supermarket, whether it's a Giant or a Food Lion out in the suburbs. This is a food market, but yet the folks who live in this area who have no other supermarket can't come in and use their food stamps to buy healthy food. Tell us what that's all about.
Well, we're the oldest continually operated grocery store in the country. We started in 1792 here. My family's been here since 1886. We have always been able to provide food for every socioeconomic group, you know, that came through the door. And we have been part of the SNAP or the food stamp program since the mid-1950s. Here at Fadley's, it was 1954 when we started accepting. Recently, in the past year and a half, we have been under review, as well as many of the other merchants here in the market, and the rules for how to accept them have not changed, but the interpretation of those rules has, and several of the merchants have had their ability to take food stamps taken away from them, and we just received a letter here at Fadley's that they are going to take it away from us come this Saturday. And so we're fighting back. We are a grocery store. Some of the excuses that they're using is that we co-locate with Hot Food. every Walmart, every Giant. Target,
Royal
every
Farms.
Giant, every Whole Foods co-locates with Hot Food. That excuse really shouldn't fly, especially in this area when this is the grocery store that so many deprived people need because they walk here.
Right.
And now we're forcing them to either go to the 7-Eleven for their groceries or a gas station or have to come up with bus fare to get someplace further away from their home. And so we really need as much help as we can get to try to fight back on considering this market the same as you would a farmers market or any other grocery store, that we carry all four food groups, whether one merchant only carries one type of food or not, that there should be an exclusion for city markets. We're one of the few cities in the country that actually have them, and we need to preserve them.
Your federal government at work, huh?
So, yeah, Nestor, yeah, let's ask our listeners. Call your. I mean, I know our congressional
delegation. That's what makes everybody aware.
This
of that.
Is yes. Yeah. This is actually, and the people that are making the decision are local people. So we really need to get to the correct local people to get this thing solved, because they're the ones making the interpretation.
I'm pretty confident City Council President will have his staff getting involved with our congressional.
It's just ridiculous.
Here we go.
Delegation.
Oh, yeah.
Because we need your help.
Yes,
all right,
but we own
Jamie
it.
Let me give us
Thank
one more
you.
Time. Market Center Thank Trash you. Bash. Make sure we get that in. Let everybody know about that. We are down at the historic, not historic St. Mary's. They've never got historic down there.
Yes,
they
sir.
Got crab cakes there, too, I'm sure. But
so,
we're Fadley's
at
Lexington Market.
These.
So when we say we go out and ask our listeners, say, look, we're going to have City Council President on, what do you ask? A bunch of the answers center on education. We're going to have Dr. Santalise on soon.
Oh, great.
By all accounts, just really doing great things
she
in
is.
The city schools. Folks will say to us, say, the city spends $16,000 per pupil. That's third only behind New York and Boston, and we're not getting the results that we need to get. What do we need to do to give every child in Baltimore City Public Schools the education that you got?
So first and foremost, we have this wonderful thing, the most important policy decision facing the state of Maryland right now, called the Caravan Commission.
Absolutely.
We should pass it. And I love when certain elected officials and others go to that talking point. It's a Trumpian talking point, in my opinion, because they're trying to hide the fact that, you know, I was in seventh grade when they did this city-state partnership, when really our schools became an entity of the state government, so to speak. And for us to know that the state itself admits that over the last 10 years, the state of Maryland has owed Baltimore City Public Schools $290 million a year. I laugh at folks who say, well, yeah, but we're funding you at such this high level. But you said yourself that you owe us $290 million a year. That's just like me, Don, coming to you and saying, listen, your roof and your foundation are both leaking, but I'm only going to give you money to fix one, and then I'm going to criticize you for not fixing the other.
Well, and I just saw a recent statement from Dr. Santalise. I said that the preliminary data, and what a shocker, and she was obviously making that point, that the students in the newly renovated
schools
are doing
great.
Well.
Exactly.
Yeah, no kidding.
We went through all this trouble. We went through, did things that politically were not, people were not fond of, like the bottle tax, and look what we have. I just happened to be at the grand reopening of Arlington Elementary and Lake Clifton, and you can see the success that these young people are having in these schools, and we know that we're going to do more, but we also have to have that for every single kid. We have to make the investments, because this investing that money, passing the Caravan Commission, it's about buildings, it's about funding, but it's also about making sure that we can educate our kids in a comprehensive and effective way, top to bottom, making our schools community schools, making sure that we're giving the resources that they need in addition, making sure they have art and music like I had, making sure that they have the counselors that they need, making sure, you know, I always talk about that being a part of the College Bound Foundation changed my life. That's why I went to college, right? But not every high school has College Bound, because principals in high schools in Baltimore sometimes have to choose between having a College Bound counselor or having people that are dealing with mental health or having hall monitors. Like, those are kind of decisions that they should not have to make.
Well, you mentioned community schools, Mr. President. We're going to have, in a couple weeks, we're going to have Chris Battaglia, who is the principal of Ben Franklin at Mason Cove, a true community school
true
where they're just
school.
Doing magical things over there. It's not the kids.
Yep.
That's what David Hornbeck pointed out.
It's not that we have to.
It's the grown-ups.
Always. I spent most of my day yesterday with young people at the beginning of my day and the end. And I was so glad that we scheduled it that way because it cut out all the insanity of the adults in between, right? So what we have to understand is that these young people are great. We have to help them harness that. And then also for me about education, what we're doing is we're not waiting for the state to say we have to spend more money. I've already asked via resolution for our finance department to say, how can we put more city dollars into public education, because we don't put enough, even though we put more than the formula says that we have to, that we don't put enough, and how can we responsibly increase that over time? Because I think that we, again, have to, as a city, start investing in a promise of our young people, not just their failures. That's why this year I fought and we were able to get rec centers open on Saturdays in Baltimore City for the first time since the 70s. And next year we're going to work and push through the budget process
that
to get them
crazy.
Open on 7 days. 50 years. Actually, rest his soul. Governor Schaefer decided they should be closed on Saturdays. And then I was born, raised up, turned 35, and became council president, and we were able to undo it.
You know, that doesn't even make sense. It's funny, when that article appeared that they were open on Saturdays, I can't tell you how many people said to me, wait a minute.
What?
What do you mean? They weren't open on Saturdays.
It took 50 years to think of
that. They weren't open
on
Saturdays.
Yeah, no.
Well, you know, a friend of yours, Senator Bill Ferguson,
yes.
Earlier in the year, when he got so outraged, and we're going to have the senator on soon, but and Nestor and I looked at each other, that the pools weren't open, ready to open on Memorial Day year after year. And we joked, last time we checked, Memorial Day comes the same time every year.
It's about investment. And in his case, they did, Rec and Parks did everything they could do in that case. Stuff breaks, and they were able to fix it. And I know he and Rec and Parks have talked about that. But it's about investment in Rec and Parks. Like, listen, we have to increase funding for that agency, which is why the work of assessing city government, finding inefficiencies, making sure that we're more efficient and effective is so important, so that we can do those things. Right? We have.
Why are we not doing that now? Or like, I'm asking as a voter and a citizen here.
I
have the frustration of a citizen.
Yeah.
You have the frustration of...
Well, we're doing more of it now, right? It's about changes in leadership, which we have had now, who have elevated that kind of discussion. We didn't have that kind of discussion before. And it was a lot easier when you didn't have a mayor that loves Rec and Parks. Like, listen, me and Mayor Young disagree on many things. Rec and Parks is not one of them.
Right.
And it was a lot easier when I was just a council person to just ignore me when I'm saying we have to give more money for recreation parks. Because also, in addition to doing the rec centers, we were able to get funding to give them more money to redo basketball courts and tennis courts in the city as well. That's critically important. And now we can focus on the pools. We have this Rec 2025 plan that we're all going to work together towards. And we have to make sure that agency is being funded properly so that we can have the success in school, out of school time, because this came up, really hit the nail on the head when we had the incident on Saturday at the Inner Harbor. And someone in the media asked me, like, well, shouldn't these, why are these young people down at the harbor? I'm like, well, first of all, it's a park, so it's theirs too. They can be there. They have every right. And actually, at the end of the summer, we had a silent DJ party for young people at Rash Field, and we had no issues because we had a structured program for them to be a part of. But I also said to them, where should they go?
Right.
And they said, direction. As I said, well, they closed on Saturdays. So how, like, we have to provide those opportunities.
Well, we do hear, we have heard repeatedly on this show, Nestor, that folks, when we talk about whatever shape the new harbor place takes, it has to have an inviting feel that it belongs to the city, that it belongs to the kids, that it belongs to the neighbors. Can't just be for the tourists and the people out in Catonsville or Howard County.
I think, Don, also is that it has to be Baltimore, right? And my vision is that, it's fine to have the nice chain restaurants in there, but, like, to me, if we want to showcase Baltimore, it should be a Fakely's in there. It should be restaurants that we know are from the city.
Should be an Ida B's in there.
Yeah, Ida B's in there. All the great restaurants that we have, let those folks do it. But also, we just passed that board of estimates yesterday, the renovation and phases of Rash Field, redoing that so it's more inviting. You can have families there. And it has to be about, yes, about tourists. They know they're going to come, but it has to be welcoming, open to Baltimoreans too, because it's their taxpayer dollars that are renovating right. these things, but also they live here 365 days a year, and they have to feel welcome in their own city, no matter where they come from or what they look like.
Good luck to you, man.
What is what is your relationship with the mayor?
No, we have a good, listen, we will always have a working relationship. The mayor and I have had issues in the past over specific legislation or specific issues, but at the end of the day, what you have in he and I are two men who are of Baltimore and from Baltimore that want Baltimore to be better. Yes, we're going to disagree, but we're never going to disagree to the point where we're going to allow that to impact progress in the city. You don't have to worry about that with us.
Who's your political mentor or mentors?
Oh, man, I have a lot of them. He would be including one of them. Him, of course, former Mayor Rawlings Blake. Blake is one. Listening to, I spent a lot of time listening to people, Elijah Cummings, people across this city and the state, my Maggie McIntosh. Those are the folks that I try to listen to get a wide array of opinions. But then the best political mentor I can have is the citizens of Baltimore. They tell me where I should be, whether what I'm doing is wrong. When I'm in the giant supermarket and someone says, I like that idea you have, or when I'm in the gym at night and they say, what in the world were you thinking? That's the best political mentor I can have. Have as the citizens, and I thank them for that.
Seahawks.
Go Seahawks, go Mustangs.
Go Mustangs. We hope you'll come back throughout the campaign. City Council President Brandon Scott, got a lot to say, Nestor.
Yes, sir.
Baltimore positive.
I'm just glad we got it done while my Apple cord was allowing us to get down to 6%.
Switch the windows. You won't have that problem.
Yeah. You know
that's right.
You know that's right. You were a DJ, and I was a DJ. Your worst nightmare
is your computer dying.
Is your
electro dying.
Not only that, but on a young lady's wedding day.
Oh, man.
You know, so.
I can't.
Yes, sir.
Baltimore positive. City
thanks
Council
for having
President
me,
Brandon
gentlemen.
Scott.
Thank
thanks
you.
For coming,
thank
man.
You.
I'm glad
thank
you made it
thank
out.
Eat that crab cake.
We're Fadley's, we're Lexington Market. We're back for more on WNST and Baltimore Positive right after this.